Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight, and a very important show, because we're going to talk tonight about injuries that can happen while playing an instrument, especially if you're doing a lot of repetitive practicing and stuff. And it's a very serious problem and very prevalent. A lot of my friends now that have been playing for many years are suffering from hand injuries, including myself. And my guest has been one of those people that's helped me get my hands back in shape and being able to play better. I want to welcome back. He's been here a couple of times, Dr. David Allen. It's so good to have you back on the show.
Great to be here, Jeff.
And he's been working for many years developing, he develops curriculum, and he has a lot of videos on his rocketshipwellness.com website, and you can learn about different things, whether doing treatment, how to take care of your hands, how to take care of your, you know, everything that you need to do to be a better musician and be able to, you know, not stress out your body. And so let me just start out real quick. We should do a little review, a little background of you and your program and how you got to where you are now, mm-hmm. in terms of what the curriculum is now. And then we'll get into his newest program that's coming up. It's called the best exercise program for the musician. So let me go ahead and give us a little background. Tell me your life. This is your life.
Well, we're going to start off with the idea of the Rocket Ship Wellness is my, mm-hmm. is my parent company. And a more direct link for the musicians would be musicianshipwellness.com.
Okay.
So at musicianshipwellness.com is, right now it's a temporary landing page where you can access some ways to get in touch with me. And it's constantly changing right now. Ultimately, I'm going to be shifting everything over to my Academy page, my Rocket Ship Wellness Academy page, and so that is up and coming. And that's where all my courses are going to be, all my the musicianship courses and also the other courses that I do.
That's rocketshipwellnessacademy.com?
rocketshipwellnessacademy.com. I'm not sure. I know it's the page is being held there at the very least, but there might be a landing page there too. I'm going to have to double check. I had this for a long time, and I'm a chiropractor and a massage therapist initially, and always was very interested in education and working with wellness. Mm-hmm. And I started out as a musician. I came out here back in 1978 to go to the Guitar Institute of Technology, and I graduated from there, and I was practicing and a professional musician. And my father said, "Is there anything you could do to make some money out there?" And I drifted into the health field. I took a weekend workshop in something called reflexology, which That was the gateway for all the things I'm doing right now, from my chiropractic, my massage, and wellness. And I was fortunate very early on to have a mentor that I studied movement education. And that's a huge, big part of my program, where we're getting the musicians and we're getting the students to become more aware of themselves and to understand how they could stay out of trouble. Because if you're not aware or paying attention to what you're doing, like you said, there's, over the years, there's a lot of repetition that the musicians do, a very similar type of activity, like even like data entry or something like that. You have to think that the musicians are small muscle athletes. So what's most important is you have to certainly learn how to take care of your hands.
Well, one of the things I noticed is when I was in school and I was practicing, there wasn't all this internet and social media especially. We did use computers, but sporadically. So I might practice 4 or 5 hours in a day. Mm-hmm. But after that, I didn't use my hands maybe to write a little bit for homework. But for the most part, my hands rested. Now, today, even if I practice, I'm done, I'm back on the computer. And mm-hmm. then if I'm not on the computer, I'm on the phone, mm-hmm. texting, updating, because everything is social media based anyway. And you basically, and I think that's happening with students too, there's no rest for the hands at all. You're constantly, when you're done practicing, you're doing all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And you had told before, and I want you to go into this, so they get an idea how critical this problem is. You had told me that there's a special department at Juilliard basically to help the students deal with injuries like that, repetitive injuries. If
absolutely.
I'm
correct. It's the movement education is a key for a lot of these things, because we don't have, growing up, you learn to do something, like you learn how to walk and you learn how to sit, and you don't even think about these things. So you start playing the guitar and you just start playing and you start moving your hands, and the nature of the guitar, generally, we fold over in front of it. And most of the instruments, you kind of fold forward. And so if you don't really have a strategy, then you're going to be in trouble. And so something like the Alexander technique, these are things that I've studied. I've studied the Alexander and the Feldenkrais. And my mentor was Grant Ramey, and his method is embodiment. And they're all movement education-based systems. Well, that's a big part of what I help share and get the students. Ultimately, I like to reach out more to the music educators, because I can only do so much as an individual. So to get my programs out to the music educators, have an online program. Everything is going to be gearing towards online, but of course I'll be available for consulting and be available to teach at the schools. I've had the opportunity the last few years since I've been on the show. I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of the schools. I've been to the Musicians Institute. I've taught at LECC, California Music Academy, and I'm getting to understand more about what they really need. They're there, just like when you went to school. I'm here at school. What do I need to learn? And if you have this information for the students, it's a good start and a good foundation for them to have a more of a successful career and to stay healthy.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. All the musicians out there that have kids now, this can become a problem if they're not learning how to play right and use correct posture and movement. It can be a problem, and it is also, we're seeing it a lot with a lot of my friends that play music, and whether they're guitarists or even keyboardists, drummers, almost all of them have some type of pain related to movement. So can you be briefly kind of describe those three different movement, those programs? So you had the one is the embodiment. Can you basically just in a nutshell summarize what they are?
Oh, sure. The embodiment is what I know most of, because I spent a lot of time in the early 80s with my mentor. And through the years, I've used that as the foundation of my movement education system. And then along the ways, I went to study Alexander and Feldenkrais. You have to understand that a movement education system is like learning anything else. It's very deep. It gets to be very deep. And so the embodiment is we had a device that would put you in a completely neutral position. Because if everything is supported in neutral, then there's less stress everywhere over the entire structure. So I was able to experience to get that feeling of what it feels like to be more in neutral, and that's a great place to start. And so from there, as you start to move, how can you move with more comfort and more power and less effort? So there's a lot of overlap between that and the Alexander technique. The Alexander technique, the one that is featured in Juilliard for the last 30 years, that's a system that's been around for over 125 years.
Wow.
And Alexander was a Shakespearean orator. And a lot of these movement therapies have developed because the people that developed them were having problems themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Alexander was losing his voice, and that's not really going to be that's not going to be a good thing if you're an actor. So he started to look in the mirror and started to see that how he was straining, how he was moving, had really a big effect on his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the Feldenkrais method, it's a wonderful technique too. Moshe Feldenkrais, originally from Israel, and he passed away in the 80s. This system has been around a long time too. And they both have music components to it because musicians, there's a lot of repetition, and if you can have more awareness about how you're feeling, then you're going to play better, you're going to be healthier. So the systems all have to do with starting to become aware of your movements. And then you could do certain things within this awareness. And for me, I've kind of synthesized everything. And I like to work with the breath. So we think about using the breath when we're mm-hmm. doing anything. And the breath itself is movement. You have an expansion and you have a collapse. And there's the movement there. So as you're taking a breath in, you could think of your body just lifting up and floating upwards,
mm-hmm.
and everything floating up instead of being stuck in a position. And that's the main problem that people have, is that they're not educated in what to do with their bodies. And you hear about posture, your basic thoughts on posture is good posture and bad posture. Good posture is where you're more aligned, and bad posture is when you're hunched over. And we don't want to do that, because then we're just thinking of positions. What's really important is you do want to think about alignment. So as a guitarist, as you're sitting here, sitting or standing, you know, where is your body in relationship to the guitar? So when you are more upright, your skeleton is able to support you better. So that's really good. But that doesn't mean that you want to hold it in that position.
Right.
So the key for a lot of these things is you want to have an appreciation of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But then also you want to have movement within that position, very subtle movement where you're thinking, right, as I'm holding the guitar here, as I take a little breath in, I feel my shoulders are floating up a little bit. I have a lot of fun with the education,
mm-hmm.
and I've come up with, instead of thinking like really light or thinking floating, I came up with something called bubble-ology.
Okay.
And so I want to get people to visualize like their head bobbling. Not that it's really flying all over the place, but it just bobbles. It just sits there. It's not stuck. So it sits there and it kind of bobbles up and it bobbles down. Your shoulders, they bobble up on your rib cage. So they bobble up and back and down and forward. And your butt, you could bobble butt, you could bobble your butt, and you could bobble your feet. You really can bobble your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
In Alexander, one of the key fundamentals is they want you to talk to the body parts. And so this is the same type of thing. Like, I feel my shoulders light. I feel my shoulders relaxed. What you think about, you bring about. What you realize, you visualize. And it's important to really understand the power of your mind, because that's the only thing you really have to control, the body. The body gives you information. And how am I feeling in a position? That's the better way to think about
mm-hmm.
posture instead of good or bad, is like, well, how am I feeling right now on a scale of 1 to 10? I call it the comfort scale. And how am I feeling when I'm like this? And maybe if you don't if you're not aware, you don't even know what the difference is. That's where you have to get the education. You have to have, you have to disseminate this education. It's really, it's very, there's a lot of depth to it, and you have to, you have to learn this just like you would learn how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Learn how to play the guitar. Somebody's going to teach you how to hold it. They're going to teach you how to scale. And here I'm teaching people how to use their body more efficiently.
Well, it's interesting. I think the difference that I'm seeing is in traditional, being taught traditionally, I was taught position. Okay, classical guitar, you play this way. Electric guitar, you play this way. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much, that's it. Whereas I see, and also too, when we've done the other shows, I've been up to his office and we've talked about this. It seems to me it's not a matter of position. What you're teaching is movement for playing guitar. It's not a position, it's a movement. So how you move and how you breathe. Now, breath is really important in acupuncture, acupressure. And I've learned from that, having that happen, getting that, the breathing is what relaxes me. I breathe even in and out. And as a musician, you know, too, phrasing. If you listen, if you're playing a piece, you breathe to the phrasing, just like any other musician, like singing. Even though you're playing a guitar, you're breathing. You breathe to the phrasing of the music. So that's an important part. And if it's smooth and stable, you tend to be relaxed. And again, as a musician, if you talk to musicians that play many hours and gig a lot, if you look at their hands or like especially drummers, to play drums the way they do and hit as hard as they do consistently, if you see them, their hands are really relaxed and loose. It's a very loose thing, and it takes a while to develop that. From playing drums, my hands would tighten up if I hadn't played for a while, and it would tighten up all the way up as I was practicing every day, and then it would loosen up and loosen up back down, and then I was good. And you could play 4 hours if you played correctly and you were relaxed, but you had to be, your wrists had to be limp, your arms had to be, if they were tight, forget it, you just tighten up.
And it's not a matter of correct or incorrect. Once again, it's like, it's comparison. How are you feeling when you do it this way, and how are you feeling when you do it this way?
Right.
Another way. And there's natural tendencies that we all have that we have to just become aware of, because when you're learning the guitar, you're learning something, or you're learning a really hard phrase, the tendency is to hold your breath.
Right. Any stress. And that's a stressful thing when you're struggling.
And that's a perfectly natural thing that occurs in the body. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you can have more awareness, that's the movement education. How are you breathing? How are you? Is your breathing flowing free when you're playing? And that's going to help you play better.
Can you demonstrate a little bit? I think it would be kind of interesting to show, in terms of posture and position, that movement. If you could demonstrate that. I mean, just noodle on something, but you get what I'm saying? Because I want them to see how your body moves. What's a relaxed movement? Now, remember, I'm asking him what he's doing for his needs. Each person's different. So it is a little bit different, but to kind of, you know, because we had gone over this before where, you know, you're constant, to show the movement as you're playing, as you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're breathing in, breathing out. If you could kind of show, since we have Facebook Live, we can see that.
I think what you need to appreciate is that it depending on the situation, if you're recording or you're really performing, what type of music are you playing? If you're playing rock and roll, I mean, you could be swinging all over the place. So here I'm in a situation where I'm just sitting with my guitar. So how do I want to play as I'm just sitting holding my guitar? Well, I'm not going to be jumping all over the place. So I am going to be fairly stable. But if you notice my position in the beginning, I'm making this chair like a stool. I'm sitting at the edge of it.
He's sitting on the edge of the chair.
Now you could sit all the way back and say, if you're practicing, I mean, it's right now, still I still have pretty good alignment right here, but normally when you're going to play and certainly perform, you want to be more upright and present, and that's going to give
right.
you
a if you're focusing position. On and you're playing a difficult part, that position mm-hmm. gives you the easiest access and less stress with your hands mm-hmm. on the neck. That's like classical.
Yeah, I love talking about a lot of these things that we're getting into now, because I think most instrumentalists have a tendency of folding into the instrument. And guitarists are notorious for it. I mean, every, like, 99% of the guitarists, I mean, they sit there and they just hunch over. And then when you're first learning the guitar, that you take those habits into a more professional careers. And so you're looking at the guitar here like this. So there's a lot of things to think about. And I also wanted to share my setup with you. We have the picture, I think, on the...
If you look at the post that I gave for the show, you'll see the little cylinder.
I have a cylinder, and this is, you could see that I have on the guitar here, I have this Velcro. And like, when I first approached my Alexander teacher, and he talked about the cylinder and putting Velcro on my guitar, this is a beautiful, beautiful guitar. And I said, do I really want to put Velcro on my guitar?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I have this on all my guitars. It's really not a big deal. It's just on there. It's black, so it kind of goes with the color here. And I don't have any problems whatsoever. I forgot my cylinder here. So, but imagine a round thing here that just sticks on here. It's actually just a cylinder. It's a PVC pipe.
Mm-hmm. Giant one. It's like,
yeah, it's a big, it's a really big one. And when you put it on there, it puts the guitar in, I really think, more of an optimal position in terms of the height.
Right.
So when you're thinking about the guitar position, let's say you're talking about a steel string, let's say you're talking about sitting. You want to have a certain amount of height. If you don't have a strap, then you have the nature of the guitar where you're resting it on your thigh.
Right.
And there's no other thing that you could do but kind of fold into it. It's difficult. So
the thing I noticed with using that device is, see, he's using a strap right now, which pulls the guitar up. So you can see his elbow is off of the soundboard. So he's on, see where it is? Okay, lift your elbow up again. Put it on the, so it's right there. And then the rest of his arm's elevated. It's not laying across the soundboard. So the soundboard is free to vibrate. Then he's just finger picking where he needs to finger pick. And in classical position, you don't lay onto it like a folk player will sit on the, he'll have his palm on the mm-hmm. bridge. So if you're playing classically, it's very elevated, so it maximizes the projection. And then the way his hand is on the fretboard, look at how his wrist to his arm is fairly straight. That's least stressful.
Yeah, let's keep going. And let's take a look at what else is happening. We were talking about the height. Now, what about the angulation? So the angulation is up also to this degree. I have different pictures that demonstrate
right.
some of the stuff. But the other couple of really interesting angles would be the angle away from your body. So you could have this, so you the angle between here. And what happens is, once it's up, you could throw the guitar out in front of you, the neck out in front of you, and that allows you to do less torquing of the neck, where I could see right now I'm on the fifth fret, I could see I'm on the seventh, I could see I'm on the 12th.
Yeah, if you're looking, really, if you have to look at when you play, most players, like classical players, have memorized, so they push the guitar towards the, which is a little less stressful for the hand on the fingerboard. But what you're talking about, where you turn it forward, I find that more when I'm standing and playing. I mm-hmm. tend to do that a little bit more.
You could do that, and then another angle is this angle.
Yeah.
So you could actually have it up a little bit, and when you have the luxury of a strap like this, my guitar is not only up at a certain height, it's angled this way too, as well as being forward. So this is how I'll normally play, and the hand position I started playing when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and who knew about how to hold the guitar with the least amount of effort and then have the most power. I didn't know any of that. And I went through so many years of habits that weren't the best. And I still have to fight them because I find myself still relying on these old habits. So when I'm playing, I think of the hand position. When we were talking about neutral, the hand position, the neutral place of the hand, the wrist, is more like this. This would be more an exaggerated in one direction. This would be exaggerated in this direction.
Right.
So there's a neutral place there. And so you'll notice when I do this little sequence, my wrist stays pretty neutral.
Now, as a sidelight, just to talk a little bit, yeah, his thumb is roughly in the center of the fretboard. You can't see it here. But by doing that also, too, look how easy it is for him to access the upper strings, the lower strings. It's less stressful for him to do those type of chords. So see that his ring finger, it's up on the E string. And it's comfortable. He's not stressing his hand. And that's important, and especially, like, for example, classical guitar players, that's a big thing, because they're playing all this stuff and they're moving around. He's playing a nice finger-picking thing, and it's mellow, but they'll be jumping around, or a jazz player. And I've noticed a lot of jazz players, even electric players, with the strap, they pull their guitar up like that, and it's closer to their head, so that they can play. It's a more relaxed position.
And let's talk a little bit more about that. And for that sequence, it actually, if you don't have a problem with your wrist, there's oftentimes I'll really have my thumb way up, right up over here.
Yeah,
for that
country,
sequence,
the country chord.
Like this works. This is so comfortable for me, but it does, you could see how it does put my wrist more off center.
And you could cramp in that thumb.
Yeah.
I cramp if I do that too much. Because the pressure is to, if you're, especially if it's like a heavy gauge or high action, the pressure is in here that he's holding here, and then the fingers. So if he's hammering on, there's pressure here, whereas with the thumb, it's a little more springier.
What's most important is we're having these conversations with the beginning students of guitar, especially when you're coming into a college situation, you're going to be playing for hours and hours and hours. You have to start paying attention and really understand what you need to do with your hands. And then part of the best exercise for the musician, we do have traditional exercises in the program, but a lot of it is the movement education and focusing on the hands. So I wanted to talk to you definitely today about the taking care of the hands with some exercises, what you would do to warm up before you would play.
That right now.
Okay. For the best exercise program, I called up one of my colleagues who I've known for many, many years. His name is Greg Irwin, and his business is called handhealth.com. He is a master wizard with the hands. He was initially a musician, and he developed all these exercises, and mostly they were isolated things, but he would move his hands and fingers to music that was just so magnificent and so much fun. And also, he's a master with the Chinese balls. And I've been using his material for years in my classes, and I said something, for this class, I want to see if Greg wants to join me on this course. So we've partnered. So he's a part of the program, and you have to see Greg's work. He's just unbelievable. And so we have free access to all of Greg's work, and we did some recording. We did some video shooting at the beginning of the year, and I'm still in the process of putting it all together, and we're going to have that program. You could see a preview of the program when you go to musicianshipwellness.com.
Okay, I saw the two-minute clip that kind of introduced it.
Yeah, and we're going to have, there's quite a bit of it is already done, but we should be up and running online very shortly.
Yes, and once he has it, he'll just send it to me and I'll post it on the site.
All right, let's talk about the hand exercises. Now, Greg's thing is like taking the fingers and moving them every which way, more isolating, where he's just talking about the fingers. So when we're talking about any kind of thing we're going to do with the hands, we're thinking whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, where we're thinking about, this is from my system, the embodiment, if we take a certain movement, and we can distribute that movement through the whole body, then it's not going to be as intense, or there's not going to be as much strain on like the contact points. And for this case, for the musicians, for the guitarists, is going to be the hands. So I have, we have some fun gloves that we put on so you can see my fingers a little better. We have different colors. And I'll show you a few things, but I'll show you what's most important. And that's why I always start out with.
Is it important to use gloves like that for
exercising? You
know
something? For someone who's playing all the time and working with their hands, when I'm not playing, I put these gloves on. I think they're billed as gloves for people that have arthritic hands, but they're support gloves. And when you put these on, you know, they feel really good. They really feel good on the hands. And I'll wear them quite a bit. And when I'm doing that, I'll be able to feel like I'm ready to do more exercises with my fingers. So it's initially was... I followed in the footsteps of Greg. He would always do his exercises with the finger, with these gloves, to be able to, so people can see a little better. But they do feel good. The most important, I believe, the most important stretch is like, what is a guitarist mostly doing with his hands when they're playing? And you think about it, when you're using both hands, when you're coming into the sound hole here, there's going to be motion in a grasping motion. The same thing here. So we're talking about always constantly flexing our fingers and flexing our thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought would be is that the goal for movement education is let's take our body and let's move towards balance. And if we're all day long flexing our fingers, then one of the most important exercises that you could do is stretching them out. So I encourage it, and we could do that together right now. So it's just simply you just take your hands, and as they're opened, they're a little stretched. But let's go ahead and stretch them. And I would stretch them for like let's say about 50%. So give a good
just
stretch.
Push them out like that.
Yeah, you push them out like you're pushing them out, and let's hold that 50% stretch for about another 10 seconds. And while that's happening, things are relaxing. And now I'm going to ask you to, as much as you can, really throw your fingers and your thumbs back, and you're really straining backwards, and hold it there for another 10 seconds. And it could be a little intense, and now just totally let it go. And you'll feel your hands, like just doing that makes them feel really good.
Yeah, but I feel it in here.
Well, all right. So I saw you grimacing a little bit.
Yeah, because I could feel it pulling in there.
All right. Too much. There's no reason to overstrain. So when you're stretching, you always want to aware of how you're feeling. And if you start grimacing when you're doing this, then you're stretching too much.
Because you said go for it, so I was going for it.
I did. Well, you know, and also we could work up to that. So as you're starting to just open and close your hands, just really open and close your hands, and mostly open, and then you could start doing each individual finger. We're going to do our thumb, then we're going to do our index finger. And when you're doing that, feel the energy coming from the floor all the way through the entire body. You're just not moving your fingers. Now the fourth, back to the middle finger. You could give everybody the finger there that way. That's
it's exercise.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Swearing.
Yeah, not your number one.
He's smiling. That's a good thing.
And then you could start thinking about, well, let's do throw two back. Throw your thumb and your index finger back. And now we're going to bring it. Then we're going to throw the index finger and the second finger out. And then we're going to take the third and the fourth. And then the fourth and fifth. Yeah, so you could start isolating them in a way where we could have thumb, index, and give a good stretch.
It's hard to do the
fourth finger. Yeah, you're going to find that some fingers...
Because we share the same tendon.
That's right. There's some people that are going to have more trouble doing this. But with practice, you'll get better. And you're right, don't strain it. Don't push it too much. And if you're going to strain it all the way, you might want to work up to that. It's like all of a sudden running at full speed, where normally you should do some stretching first and then you work up to it. So the stretching out the hands, do that for 5 minutes at least. And you could do it for even more. And when you come to the class, you could see how you could do all these other movements. See, this could be stretching up here. And now you could fold and then stretch up, fold, up, fold, up. So we're doing all the fingers. Now just do the thumbs. Now just do the index finger. Now middle finger. Then fourth finger. Then fifth finger.
Should they touch or be straight up?
Well, it's really, you can do it either way.
Can't get that one straight up.
Well, and also when we
feel that in here too.
When we do this, we have a lot of fun with it. We play with music and we can have a lot of fun with it. But you have to think of yourself like a small muscle athlete. You have to condition your hands. If you're going to be playing all the time, you're going to be playing. Most music students are playing at least an hour a day, and that would be so conservative. It might be 3, 4, or 5 hours a day.
It was more than that.
Yeah, 3, 4, or 5 hours a day. So you want to make sure you're conditioning yourself. So that's really important. That's a big part of the class is we're doing that. And then you could think about some other things you're doing. If you're playing and sitting all day long, then you should do some stretches too. And we employ some yoga. And one of my favorite things to use with exercise is a foam roller. Foam roller is very good. And we also like those big balls, the big balls that you could stretch back on. And if I knew we were doing a Facebook Live, I could have brought some other tools. And then also another thing is...
Now, this is what I'm curious about.
Well, these are the... I guess they're known by lots of Chinese balls or... Chinese balls, therapy balls. These are special in the fact that they're actually solid. So I don't know if you...
Yeah, they're weighted.
Yeah.
They're not... These are actually pretty light. Mine are heavier than that.
And I have all different sizes. These are pretty small for my hands. I have some bigger ones. And the balls are really great things to do as well with your hands. And so... When you're spinning them, you could start spinning them while they're touching, and you could hear that they're touching.
How do you? It's hard to show upright, but try to show what you. You want me to grab the guitar from you?
Well, I'll put me up with it on the chair.
Because I think you should show them how to use it. Because there's a little trick to that. I try to do it when I'm driving, in traffic, and it's like it's hard. They'd fall down.
Okay, so is that pretty good?
Okay, so he's moving it towards. He's going. What is that, counterclockwise?
Yeah, this is counterclockwise, but it's going to change when you
do,
this.
So you tend to do it,
you want to do it
rotate towards the thumb from the...
There's going to be one way that's easier. I don't know which is easier now because...
Or should you do both?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know what's easier because I've worked with them so much. They're both just as easy for me to do them. So we're going to be rolling them while they're touching.
And this is great because you can do this like if you're watching TV or... Sitting in a car talking to somebody?
Yes. And then part of the movement education is like starting to really pay attention to the movements and not doing
it. Oh, then don't do it. Okay, I got it wrong.
No, it's not wrong. And you can do that. And we all do that. But you can sit and play the guitar while you're talking to somebody.
Well, that's what I used to do. I used to watch TV and do scales.
I know. But I think more of an approach would be with the awareness is that let's focus on what we're doing. So now we're focusing on... rolling the balls in one direction and then the other direction while they're touching. And then you could roll them while you don't touch them. And part of it, I dropped that partly because it's a little slippery with the gloves on. So let me take off the gloves for this.
I don't even know if I could separate them that way. You have...
You can. You can, especially the smaller ones. The bigger ones are more challenging. But then you could really... You become like a machine almost. So see, look all the different... Look at that movement there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, it's you're really working on your hand there.
Yeah, so this is, let me get, it's one direction. You can see how the hands, really, they move. And then you go the other way. So you could work both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could start adding more balls. You could do more balls.
How many can you hold at a time?
Yeah, it depends how, I usually use just some bigger ones.
Better to use bigger ones or just two?
Well, for your size hand, I would start off with two balls, and these are 45 millimeters. I'd say this is on the small side for me. Some of the big ones I like to roll with are like 75 millimeters. And you could get the weighted balls on handhealth.com on Greg's website.
Oh, okay.
They're there. But otherwise, you could find them Also, there's a French game called pétanque, and it comes with these weighted balls that are really big. I love that. It's a set of six balls, and so you could really actually work with both hands at the same time.
Oh, okay, yeah. You can get them. I've gotten mine on Amazon. They were weighted. So
now I want to share this with you. This is at face value, it's a plastic football that you could pick up at any Big Five, but it's one of the best things to do when you really want to give your hands a break and you want to rest. You could actually use this as a centering position for the hands. So when you're resting. And the football shape works really well because if your hands are bigger, you're going to grip it more in the center of the football. If your hands are smaller, you'll grip it more at the end.
On the end.
Yeah, and you're not really gripping it. You're just letting your hand have the shape, the natural shape of the hand, more of the centered shape of the hand. And that just it just feels good to have be holding that. So that's just something that you could pick up for just a few bucks at Big Five. That's a good thing for your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else?
Now, well, let's talk now more specifically about best exercise program for the musician.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little more about the developing it and where you're going with it and how it came to be. Because this whole process of you discovering exercises and things mm-hmm. to help the musicians has been an ongoing evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could kind of... where you're from, where you've come from to this, and why this, and then where's it go? If you can, where's it going?
Well, studying the different systems, I've come up with my own philosophy. And also, when you teach something, how do you teach something in a simple way, especially a complex topic? What I've come up with a philosophy of it's called AMI, A-M-I, and the A stands for awareness. The M stands for movement, and the I stands for implementation. And there's all little parts to all these things, and this is part of the education process in learning movement education is you, first of all, have to learn how to become aware of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're mostly, if you think of that iceberg as just a little tip there, and then the big part is on the bottom, you could think of that as your mind and how you live your life, is most of that small little tip is our consciousness. And that's what, but what runs really our life is the unconscious behaviors, and that could be all these different movements. So to develop the awareness, there's a process to there's different exercises that we could do to develop the awareness muscles. You get muscles when you start to become more stronger, and all of a sudden, the awareness becomes a habit,
mm-hmm.
and then the movement has to do with understanding that the body is always moving. There's like movement processes going on as we speak, millions and millions and billions of functions that are going on, relays information and vibrations with music. Everything is happening on a movement level. So you have to appreciate that and know that we shouldn't be just stuck. And if you want to really understand the best way to move naturally is look at little kids. I mean, we don't have to teach little kids how to move, right? When they're just beginning to walk and explore, they're jumping and they're frolicking about, and we don't get a chance to do that anymore, and we've just lost that ability, and we sit up straight or we buy back braces and we're sitting for hours. This is not natural behavior, and since we do it, we want to be able to really understand the nature of the beast. We want to have that movement concept going on. And then the implementation, what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're aware? What do you do when we were talking about implementing how to hold the guitar, the different angles and that. So you want to have a good philosophy, and that's part of the education. And then a real important thing is, like, I have all these great lessons to share with them. But how do you know that people are really going to do what
mm-hmm.
There's so much information out there, and what happens is, how do you track? How do you start to learn these new habits? And how do I know that my students are going to be even following through and what they're going to be doing? So I've come up with, actually, this is an ongoing process. I have a 30-day and a 60-day program. It's called the Rocket Ship Wellness 60-day program. And so that's going to be part of every course that I teach. And I recommend that anybody that wants to start some new habits, they have they have something in writing. There's a journal that I have that goes along with the 60 days, and you have a goal sheet. Well, here are my new habits, and I want to start to get these habits to replace the old ones. And to do that, you got to practice. So every day you have an action plan, and then also you could attach mind work that goes along with your actions, like hypnosis. So I employ a lot of different things in this 60-day program where they're journaling. And then after 6 days of the program, how are you doing? Well, you have an accountability partner. And the exciting part is that this is all going to be free. I'm going to be having my basic programs available for everybody. That's all you have to be is you sign up for a free membership on my Academy site, and you have access to a 30-day and a 60-day program that, even if it's not my goals, if you have some other goals, you could plug into the system, and I explain how to do that. And that's a very big, important part of learning anything, is how do you really get it where it's going to be more automatic, where you bring it up into your consciousness and really use it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, too, and we're focusing here, obviously, because of the show. We're focusing on guitar. But all of what he's saying applies to any instrument, including vocals. And the thing I think is important is, even as he's sitting there now, he's moving. So as he's breathing and moving, his body moves. It's very subtle, but you can see it. Now, the reason I'm noticing it is because he explained this to me the last time I was at his office. Mm-hmm. So as he's breathing in and out, and could you kind of just elaborate what's happening?
Well, you have the breath rhythm, and when you're taking a breath in, everything expands. So as I'm sitting here on my two little sits bones,
he's rocking.
I could rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you, I think of the parts initially, but you could think of the whole body moving. But we could think of parts, and you could think of your spine. You have three major curves in your spine: your neck curve and your middle back curve and your lower back curve. Well, the middle the neck curve and the lower back curve are forward curves. And if I go like this, I increase the curvature. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when I tip my pelvis forward and back, as I tip it forward here, it increases the curve.
Do me a favor. Stand up and turn towards... Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So I have this...
Actually, turn around the other way so the mic catches you. There you go.
Yeah, so this increases the curve. You could do the elvis to pelvis, and you get some breath going. And if you think of this box, this torso,
right,
and you got your curves, is when you're pumping that air into the box, you're going to take those curves, and they're going to lengthen. They're going to open up. So this opens up the back, right? So your curve flattens out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you tuck your chin in, your curve flattens out in the neck. So what I can do here is, while I'm sitting here, is my head, it kind of just lifts up a little bit, my chin tucks in, and my neck curve gets straighter, and when I exhale, it comes back. So it's a very subtle movement. If you watch my head movement, it's very subtle. Breath in and breath out. Interesting enough,
you can see it in his shoulders. His shoulders go back a little bit.
The shoulders,
and when his shoulders go back from inhaling, his head goes back like this. So it pulls back, and then you can see it.
I'm going to do the major movement of the head, the neck, the shoulders, and the lower back at the same time. So I'm going to do it, and then I'll kind of explain a little bit more. So I'm breathing in and breathing out. So as I'm breathing in, the neck tucks in, the chin tucks in, the butt tucks in, gets straighter, shoulders go back, and
mm-hmm.
And now everything goes back to that starting place. And so that's the movement. You could think how a lot of people can relate to this is, everybody knows that this is kind of a collapsed, bad posture, which, you know, I'm not saying it's bad, but people understand that.
Yeah.
That you could think of like, that's your collapse.
Okay.
And then that's when you exhale. And then this would be like perfect posture, which is, once again, not good, where you're holding it way up here. And that would be your breath in. Now, so think of those two extremes. So now I'm breathing in, I'm standing up more straight, and now I'm letting go, and I'm collapsing a little bit. But I'm not going to the extreme, and I'm not holding anywhere.
And it's important to realize that that constant movement, inhale, exhale, is part of the relaxation process. You can't, when you're like rigid, you're rigid, you tighten up, and it stresses your muscles and stuff. Whereas when you're moving, and you're, it's like your eyes, when your eyes are moving, they relax. It's the same principle, right?
Well, we're, if you're just standing around, you're going to move a little bit anyway. And so what I'm saying is let's take notice of that movement, and let's be more purposeful with the movement. There are going to be times when you really want to stay perfectly still. I mean, if you're a surgeon and you're going to be cutting a little, you're not going to be doing the dance. You're not going to be floating, or it's going to be, you might want to purposely really stay so steady where you're, everything is stiff.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with being doing any position. You just want to understand that if you're holding all the time, then there's more strain.
Yeah.
And you're going to run into problems.
But as a musician, where you, breath is important in terms of phrasing and playing, so you're going to be moving more as an instrumentalist or a vocalist.
As a specialist that has so much training in this, I constantly have to remind myself to breathe because I have that habit of holding the breath. And when I remember to breathe, everything flows better.
Yeah. No, that is fascinating. Now, the when do you think this best exercise program will be actually available?
I'd say within the next couple of months. But if you go to the website, you could get on the mailing list.
Which one? The rocket ship?
The musicianship wellness.
Musicianship wellness.
Yeah, and you could see a nice little preview of the course, and then I have a place for individuals that can sign up, and I have also a place there for educators or schools or anybody else that would like more information, because I'm actively shopping this around and educating the public. I'm constantly going to LAUSD schools to share with some of the teachers, music teachers.
Right.
Very interested. And I think down the ways, I'll probably have a home base in Los Angeles to do a little teaching, but mostly it's going to be online.
It'll be online. Mm-hmm. But anybody that's teaching students privately or stuff, this is stuff that you should take into account, because it can make a... It can have a dramatic effect on the playability of your student. It's not just a classroom thing. I mean, in the sense of, I mean, he does it with the LA school district, where you have a bunch of, you know, the teachers are working with bunches of kids, but even the individual teachers, it's really important to know this stuff, I think, especially teaching new students.
Well, there you go. See, the music educators, they need a lot of work, because they're not mostly educated in this. So it's a...
Well, we never thought about that. We just played.
I know.
And that's a problem. That is an issue. And the same thing, I think this is going to cross over too in computer work. Again, we have bad habits. And that's why you have all these injuries and stuff. And that's another thing too. What he's talking about too, especially with your hands, it applies to stuff outside of just music, like computers, phones, using this stuff, texting, whatever. And all of that stuff is important. Mm-hmm. So everybody, check out musicianwellness.com.
Musicianship.
Musicianship
wellness.
I got it wrong.
I've kind of like covered all kind of bases with ship. I have a couple ship. I have an artist ship.
Well, that's right. You have a lot
wellness.
Of ships in,
a lot
the,
of
in
ships.
The bay. Musicianshipwellness.com. And keep an eye out for this. It'll be called Best Exercise Program for the Musician. And if people want to get a hold of you personally?
You know, I think look me up on Facebook. We have a group. We have a private group on there, and that would be a good place to reach me. David Allen, Allan, Dr. David Allen. And my Rocket Ship Wellness is online there.
What's the name of the group?
The group is Musicianship Wellness. Musicianship Wellness is a private group. You could reach out to me on my public group, which is Rocket Ship Wellness.
Okay, Musicianship Wellness. Yeah, I'll have to apply for that one. I didn't know about
you
that.
You could also come to rocketshipwellness.com and just reach me through the contact would be the best contact form. Just give me a holler and I'll respond.
Yeah, and if there's anything, if you have any other questions and, you're not sure where to get hold of him, just message me over on Facebook and I'll forward it to him. Thank you so much. It's really great to hear what you're doing. It's really exciting because I've been lucky to see the evolution of this, or part of the evolution. He's been doing this for years, but since I first met you, I've been watching, and it's amazing the strides and what he's doing and how important it is for us, for the next generations of musicians too, and to learn from our mistakes and stuff, because it is a serious problem. And I'm hoping that people will learn how to relax their hands so they can play many, many, many more years. So again, go ahead.
I want to thank you, Jeff, for being a staunch supporter ever since I met you. You've been very gracious in having me come over, and I really appreciate your support. And we all know how important it is for our musical brothers and sisters to get a good foundation so they can mm-hmm. live a healthier and happier life.
Yeah. Well, everybody, that's it for tonight. We will see you next week. Thank you so much. And we will be back next week. You guys take care.